You know, it's amazing when you put a verse of Scripture to a song, how quickly you can memorize it. And so I'm looking forward to being able to learn that on Sunday morning. And so let's say it together. 1 Timothy 1:17. We'll say the reference and then say the verse together. Let's say it together. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that a great verse? And certainly He is an awesome God, and we certainly want to give Him the honor and glory that is due unto His wonderful name. I hope that you'd work on that, and looking forward to the opportunity. Also want to remind you that when we have birthday fellowship here in the month of January, a couple of weeks from this past Sunday, so it won't be this upcoming Sunday, but the following, we'll have the opportunity, as Brother Jeff announced on Sunday night, we're going to have a little Bible quiz. So the plan for Birthday Fellowship Sundays going forward is that I'll preach a shorter message. Now that's the plan, amen? And I'll preach a shorter message, and we'll have 10 or 15 minutes for a Bible quiz before we go over. So we'll still plan to be done at 7 o'clock, a normal end time on Sunday evenings. And this particular month, the month of January, the Bible quiz will be centered around the life of Abraham. And so you might want to be doing some studying in the book of Genesis about the life of Abraham, and be prepared to be able to answer some questions. We'll have a great time of fellowship and look forward to that, and I'm sure that will be a blessing to you. And I'm sure that even if you don't like the idea of a quiz, by you going and studying the life of Abraham, it'll be beneficial for you, and so that's a blessing. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. We will not look at the very last phrase of verse number 13. It will be a study for next Wednesday evening. But we'll look at the entirety of verse 12 in the first portion of verse 13. As discussed last week, these two letters, the letter of 1 Thessalonians, letter of 2 Thessalonians, are written to the local church in Thessalonica. By the way, I'm thankful for a local church. I'm thankful that the church is not man's idea, it's God's idea. And I'm thankful that this local church, as we looked last week, we examined five characteristics of the church at Thessalonica that really make this church a model church. And I went through great lengths last Wednesday evening to try to lay the groundwork for this new study on Wednesday evenings. The study, if you want to use a title for the entire study, it's Walk Worthy, Please God. Walk Worthy, Please God. And we find that as Paul would be used of the Lord to write to the church at Thessalonica, it's a model church, a church that is commended, a church that's doing a great work for God. But we find at the end of chapter number 5 of the first letter, beginning in verse number 12, then again, in the end of the second letter, in chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 6, we find that God gives this church in two different places a list of instructions. We find that the church is that the Apostle Paul is being used of the Lord to give this church these pieces of instruction, and we find that it's so that they might walk worthy and please God. As we think about this subject matter and consider the instruction that God gives us, I believe tonight that we should rejoice in knowing that God has providentially preserved this instruction that was originally given to the church at Thessalonica, but He has preserved it so that every local church throughout the entire church age knows the instruction that's been given so that we can walk worthy and please God. And I think that's certainly reason for us to rejoice. As we begin in verse 12 and 13, the first point of instruction that is provided to this church in Thessalonica, it addresses a church and its pastor. I've titled the message for this evening simply that, a church and its pastor. I believe this evening it's important that we recognize God's design and God's purpose for the local church. As statements, if you will, of introduction, it's important for us to remember that it is His church. Amen? It's not my church, it's not your church, though we might use that terminology of would you come to my church or this is our church, but we understand the headship, the lordship of the local church, and Jesus is the head. It is His church. Remember He said this, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'll build your church. He said, I'll build my church. In Acts chapter number 20, the Bible speaks about how he gave his blood for his church. He paid for it. He loved the church in Ephesians chapter number 5 and gave himself for it. And so we find that it is his church. We also understand this, that we are his sheep. Remember, he said to Peter, feed my sheep. He didn't tell Peter, feed your sheep. He said, feed my sheep. And we find that Jesus said that we are his sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, in John chapter number 10. And so we understand this evening that Jesus is the head of the church. It's his church. But we also understand, as we study through the New Testament, that God has ordained leadership. And as we understand that God has ordained leadership, we understand that the office of a pastor is God's idea. It's not man's idea that, oh, this church thing should have a pastor. No, it's the idea, the plan of God. And God has established it such in his word, and he's given the instruction. In fact, we would say this, that God calls and equips pastors for the purpose of leading his church. Understanding that the pastor must recognize, I must recognize that it's not my church, it's God's church, and he's given me this great responsibility to fill that role of being the pastor. And as we look at this portion of Scripture, and we understand that God has graciously provided instruction to the church at Thessalonica, again, by way of preservation to every local church, this instruction regarding the relationship between a church and its pastor. We'll look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12 and 13. Before I do, let me read Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11 and 12, as we understand that, again, the pastor is God's idea, not man's idea. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he, speaking of the Lord, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And it tells us the purpose by which he gave them for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And so we see that God has ordained leadership. It is his church, but he has called and equipped pastors to lead his church. As we look at these verses of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, notice in verse number 12, the Bible says this, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then it says, and be at peace among yourselves. We'll deal with that statement in verse number 13 next week. So this evening, as we look at the subject matter of a church and its pastor, number one, if you're taking notes, notice with me the responsibility of the pastor. The responsibility of the pastor. As we look at these couple of verses of Scripture, the Bible says in verse number 12 that we're to know them, notice what the Bible says, which labor among you. And so as we begin to think about the responsibility of the pastor in these two verses of Scripture, really, as we look in verse number 1 specifically, and then there's a reference in verse 12, and then in verse 13 as well, there's really three aspects with regard to the responsibility of the pastor that are referenced within these two verses of Scripture. In verse 12, the Bible says, them which labor among you. And then in verse number 13, it says, for their work's sake. And so we see this idea of labor and work that are mentioned in verse 12 and verse 13, the responsibility of the pastor. We'll look at a couple of verses in just a moment to understand more clearly what that labor and work is and what God has prescribed it to be. Notice also in verse number 12, the Bible says, to know them which labor among you, and then the second aspect, and are over you in the Lord. Now understand that this is again God's plan of leadership between a pastor and its church, understanding that ultimately God is the head, he's the leader, but again he equips and he calls pastors to lead his church. Again, as you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll be there in just a moment, that leading is not the idea of being a dictator, a ruler. It's like a shepherd leads the sheep. And with love and with care and with compassion. I've often said, and within the context of speaking with pastors or ministry leaders and even speaking to those that might be interested in the ministry, the reality is that the Bible speaks about the idea of shepherding and sheep. Something that's unique about that is that you lead sheep. You do not drive sheep. You drive cattle, but you lead sheep. And so he talks about they labor among you for their work's sake, but then it says, and are over you in the Lord. And then the third aspect of the responsibility of the pastor is this, admonish you and admonish you. One of the responsibilities of the pastor is to warn and to instruct. That's the responsibility. You think about a shepherd and the sheep, and you think about the flock and how they would provide the leadership and the guidance and the direction for their flock, but they'd also provide that level of instruction. They would lead them, and they would help them to understand. And again, the truth of providing warnings. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the believers in Colossae, he speaks about his ministry of warning and how important that aspect of pastoral ministry is, and we understand that it's biblical responsibility. So we think about the responsibility of the pastor threefold: to work, to labor among them for their work's sake, over you in the Lord, to provide that leadership, and then to admonish, to warn, and to instruct. Let's look at a couple of other verses of scriptures. We compare scripture with scripture and seek to understand what this responsibility, how God kind of gives more information throughout his word with regard to this responsibility. In Acts chapter number 20, and we'll look at a number of verses, and so be ready to turn, if you will, Acts chapter 20, in verse number 28, and here in this verse of Scripture, Paul is speaking to those that are the leaders at the church at Ephesus, and notice what he tells them with regard to their responsibility that is within alignment and can certainly clearly given in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 as well. In verse 28 of Acts 20, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Remember that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, that they're over you in the Lord. He's made them overseers. But then notice it says, to feed the church of God, and which he hath purchased with his own blood. So it's his church, but again, he's put in place the leadership. He has given that responsibility to a pastor, and the relationship between a church and its pastor being given to this church at Thessalonica. Though they're a model church, the instruction is given, why? To walk worthy and please God. And so we see the responsibility. Notice over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and again, a pastoral epistle here that we look to as Paul is giving instruction. We'll be studying through the book of 1 Timothy all year on Sunday mornings, as well as 2 Timothy. And we notice in 1 Timothy 4, in verse number 6, notice what God says, using the Apostle Paul to give this instruction to Timothy. He says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things..." Notice what he says, "Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." That should be the goal of every pastor, by the way, to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And it says, "Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And so this would fit within the responsibility of that admonishing you, but also the responsibility of laboring among you for their work's sake, that you are putting the brethren in remembrance of these things. He says, "Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." And what a blessing that Paul would outline that God would give the instruction that this is the criteria by which we can determine if a pastor is fulfilling his responsibility. Notice in chapter number 5, 1 Timothy chapter number 5, in verse 17 and 18, more information is given to us that helps us to have a broader understanding of the responsibility of the pastor. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, "Let the elders," those are the pastors, "that rule well," again, that's the idea, they're over you in the Lord, the leadership, "be counted worthy of double honor." But then notice this phrase, "especially they who labor." Do you remember that word from 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, that labor among you for their work's sake? Notice the labor, that labor in the word and doctrine. That's the main. Remember when there became some division in the book of Acts between some widows, and we find that there in that portion of Scripture that Peter stands up and says, "Listen, it's not for us to leave the Word of God and serve tables." and they sought out among them capable men that would be able to fulfill those duties and those responsibilities so that the pastors could give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And you can study that in the book of Acts and see. And here we find that Paul says, they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now think about that labor, it's work. Some people have the idea that preparing a sermon is just no big deal, and until they're asked to do it. Then all of a sudden they find out it's not as easy as they thought it was. And I remember when I first got here, someone asked me, Pastor, I really appreciate your sermons. Do you have a book that you get them from? That's what they said to me. And I said, yes, sir. It was Doug Cook. He said that to me, and they've moved away. And he says, man, we were working on a project. He's like, I really appreciate your messages. You know, do you have a book that you get them from? And I said, I do. It's called the Bible. Amen? And the reality is that we're to labor. Listen, there are some folks that just go and get an internet sermon, and they just deliver it. Shame on them. Shame on them. And there are people that sell sermons. Shame on them. We're to labor in the Word and in doctrine. And we're to be students of the Word. Listen, that takes time. And the reality is, even as we talk tonight about having a sign-up sheet to cut grass, I'm on the schedule to cut grass. But the reality is that my main labor is not to cut grass every week. That's not the calling. The calling is to labor in the Word and in doctrine. Notice verse 18, for the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. And so what is the labor? What is the work with regard to the responsibility of the pastor? To labor in the Word and doctrine. And notice in 1 Peter 5, 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3, and we'll be done and move on from here. But in 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3, Peter is giving some just additional information, if you will, with regard to the responsibility of the pastor. In verse 1, it's clear that he's speaking to the elders, to the pastors. He says this in verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Notice the responsibility in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. So do you see in verse 2 and 3 of 1 Peter 5 how that the responsibility of the pastor that's listed in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 is given further insight here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. He says, feed the flock of God. The idea of admonishing, to warn, to instruct. He says, which is among you, taking the oversight. They're over you in the Lord, that leadership. But he says, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Remember, it's God's church. It's His people, His sheep. But it says, being examples and samples to the flock. And then the Bible says this in verse number 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, we shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The responsibility of the pastor is a very serious responsibility. The responsibility of the pastor, listen, I've said to people, I'd say it to you about myself, if I didn't know that God called me to be a pastor, I would want nothing to do with trying to be a pastor. Because it's a great responsibility. And we find that it's a biblical responsibility. It's God's plan that He calls and equips pastors, and He gives us a responsibility. And one day, the pastor is going to stand before God and give an account. And here in verse 4, the Bible says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. But the reality is that when the chief shepherd appears, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, we're only going to receive that crown of glory as a pastor if we have fulfilled the responsibility that God has given us. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17, we're not going to turn there, but the Bible speaks about the pastor in this sense that they watch for your souls. But then it says this, as they that must give account. It's a great responsibility, but it's one that God calls, and I mentioned He calls and equips. And so as we think about the relationship and the instruction here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13, we really see that God is providing instruction with regard to the relationship between a church and its pastor. And we find that immediately as we look at the verses of Scripture that God highlights the responsibility of the pastor. The pastor has responsibility and the pastor is accountable. Number two, we see back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, not only the responsibility of the pastor, but we also see in this text of scripture the responsibility of the church. There's a responsibility of the pastor, there's a responsibility of the church. Notice in these verses of scripture, we're really given two thoughts with regard to the responsibility of the church, three thoughts with regard to the responsibility of the pastor. But notice, Paul begins in verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, and then notice this phrase, to know them. Who's them? Well, them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, speaking about the pastors, the spiritual leaders. And he says, to know them. This idea of to know them is to have regard for one, to cherish, to pay attention to. Really, if we'd use today's terminology, maybe we might say it this way, to appreciate them. And so we find that Paul is saying to this church, remember it's the church at Thessalonica, again, a model church. And it's interesting, in verse number 27, he says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And so he wanted to make sure that he knew he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he's giving God's word and God's instruction. And he says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Yes, the pastor has a responsibility, but the church too has a responsibility. The first aspect is to know them, to have that regard for one, to appreciate that one. Notice in verse 13, the Bible says, and to esteem them very highly in love. Why? For their work's sake. And so we find this idea to esteem them very highly in love. To esteem is to prize or to set a high value on, to regard with reverence, respect, or friendship. That's what the word means. And he says this, to esteem them, notice, very highly in love. This really carries with the idea of over and above, exceeding abundant. That's the idea of the word, the phraseology. Now, I'll be honest with you. I said this to Bart before the service. That he said, good luck tonight. And I said, you know what's funny about that? The subject I'm preaching on is my least favorite subject to preach on. Why? Because I'm a pastor. It's not pleasant preaching and teaching about the relationship between a church and its pastor when you are the pastor of the church. I'd rather go preach this message in another church and have another pastor come preach it here. That's just the way it is, right? But the reality is that I'm giving you Bible. This is what God says is the responsibility between a church and its pastor. And we find that here, God has given this responsibility. Let's look at a few verses, just as we did with the responsibility of the pastor, even as we look at the responsibility of the church. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, if you will, in chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. In this portion of Scripture, of course, we know that Paul is writing to a church that is a carnal church, not a model church, but again, giving them instruction. And here, as Paul is speaking about really his own position as an apostle, we see the context with regard to what he's dealing with and being in that position. But he also gives us a very interesting truth, a principle that we find in verse number 11 of 1 Corinthians 9 that is applicable to what we're seeing here with regard to the responsibility of the church with its pastor. Notice in verse number 11, the Bible says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, now that's the responsibility of the pastor, right? To sow unto them spiritual things, to teach them, to warn them, to labor in word and doctrine. It says this, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now, what's he referring to with carnal things? We're talking about the things that are necessary for living. If you want to talk about wages and that sort of thing, certainly that would be appropriate and applicable here. And he says that if we have sown unto you spiritual things, again, laboring in word and doctrine and doing, fulfilling the responsibility, the God-given responsibility within that role of being pastor, he says, we've sown unto you the spiritual things. Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? No, that's the responsibility of the church back to the spiritual leader, to the pastor. We see that in Galatians chapter number 6 as well. Turn over there, if you will. In Galatians chapter number 6, we find that this particular letter is not written to a specific church. It's written to the churches, plural, that are in the region of Galatia. We know that on the first missionary journey that the Apostle Paul was used of the Lord to see four churches planted there in the region of Galatia. And they were sent out of the church at Antioch, but they went into Antioch and Pisidia, and it was there that they planted a church, as well as Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And so these four churches are planted. They're giving instruction. You find in chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," and so he's speaking to the churches that he's writing to, and he's giving them this instruction. But notice in verse number 6, as he deals specifically with this idea of the responsibility of the churches, it says, "Let him that is taught in the word." Now again, the responsibility of the pastor is to communicate to them, to labor in the word and doctrine, to warn, to admonish, instruct. He says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." And so there's this responsibility of the pastor, but there's also the responsibility of the church. We regularly say to churches, and missions work is different than planting a local church within the United States of America, but we often say, even as I will say to this man that will be here on Sunday evening to plant a church in Chicago, "How long do you think it will be that you need missionary support?" Why do we ask that question? Because at some point, that local church that you establish has the biblical responsibility to take care of you as their pastor. Right? They're to be an indigenous, self-supporting church. That's the idea. If you plant a church, we had a church planter that we were supporting, Zach Hauser. We supported him a few years ago. And as we were supporting him in the church that he was planting there up in Delaware, we've had this with other church planters that we have supported. I have conversations with them, and I say something like this: we will support you. We agree to support you for X number of months or years. And once we reach that point, normally it's an 18-month commitment that we as a church make to them as they would go and start a church. And then after 18 months, we'll evaluate. Where's the church? How have things progressed? So on and so forth. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Every region is different with regard to how many people would be reached and so on and so forth. And then what we would do is evaluate at that 18-month point and say, okay, let's continue support for six more months. You still need support. The church isn't there ready to support you as their pastor yet. And I remember having a conversation with one pastor, Brother Hauser specifically, and he was real sheepish and real shy about trying to encourage his church to understand their responsibility to compensate him. And here's what I said to him. I said this. I said, "Brother, the reality is that you're robbing the church of doing what they're called of God to do." Amen. That's just Bible truth. It's not for filthy lucre. If it's for filthy lucre, he's not fulfilling his responsibility. You need to get a new pastor. But the responsibility of the church is to take care of its pastor. That's just the responsibility. You say, well, the pastor can get a job. He can, but then he can't labor in word and doctrine as effectively as he could if he did not work that secular job. Does it make sense? And we understand that. And so we find in 1 Timothy 5, notice what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We read the verses a moment ago with regard to the responsibility of the pastor to be laboring in word and doctrine. But the Bible gives us two principles in this passage of Scripture with regard to the responsibility of the church. Notice again in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, it says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor." Now listen, there are people that are going to take that and twist it and say, "I should be paid double." No, that's not what he's saying. They're worthy of double honor. If they labor well, if they rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, then it says, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. But then notice it goes on and says this, "For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." It's a Bible principle that the laborer is worthy of his reward. Some people would argue, well, Paul made tents. Sometimes he did. But sometimes he was compensated. You can study through the life of Paul and you can see it and you can understand. And the reality is that as the pastor, and two of our deacons are in here this evening, Ari's not feeling well and Pierre's not here, but as the pastor, I have said to these men in deacons meetings that the reality is that if things get tough financially, the first thing that happens is my salary decreases. You say, well, pastor, we don't like that. That's what I've said to these men in meetings. I hope that never happens. But the reality is that That's the role of the pastor, is to fulfill the God-given responsibility, but there is a responsibility on the side of the church. And so as we find and we think about this portion of Scripture, let me say this, and then I'll make some conclusion remarks. We'll get into prayer time. I want to say this publicly tonight. Our church has been such, I would say, our church has done well. I feel like our church has fulfilled its God's given responsibility to take care of me as the pastor. Again, not an easy subject to preach on as the pastor of the church. But the reality is, I would say, I commend our church. I often say, and I'll say it in a couple of weeks when we have our annual business meeting, I commend our church for our missions giving, the way that we give to missions. And listen, that's a responsibility to give to missions, but as we understand the responsibility that we have to give to missions, it's not at the expense of taking care of the pastor. We've never done that, and I thank the Lord for it. I am thankful, and I appreciate. And even as I mentioned about the church in Thessalonica, they're a model church. They're doing things well. They're doing things right. But God still gives them instruction that says, hey, listen, remember these things. Be aware of your responsibility, not only to the church members, but also to the pastors of the church. You have responsibility. And if you want to walk worthy and please God, here's where the responsibility starts. And we find it with regard to a church and its pastor. Now, let me say this in closing. The pastor can fail, and many have. Many have. Many pastors have not fulfilled their responsibility, their God-given responsibility, that the Bible instructs them on what their job, what their duty, what their call is, and they can fail. But can I tell you this evening that not every pastor has failed? There are good pastors that preach and teach the Word of God, that labor in word and in doctrine. There are good pastors that feed the flock of God. I don't seek in any way, shape, or form to pat myself this evening, but we had a visitor come here a few years ago, and they only came here because they were looking for a church to rent. They didn't come here because they were looking for a church. They were trying to start a particular church in the area. And so they came to visit to see if our church might be available for rent, which it's not because we use it, amen? But they came here for that purpose. And after the service, they came in the back, and there was actually two men. They were deacons at this particular place where they were going to start this church. And they said, let me ask you a question. Do you always feed your flock that way? Initially, I didn't know how to respond to the question, because my job is to feed the flock of God. It's my job. It's my responsibility. I don't want to take the shortcuts. I don't want to just do a Saturday night special, so to speak. Labor in word and in doctrine, it's my responsibility. Pastors have failed. I'm not perfect. Pastors have failed, but there are some good pastors. I was at a pastor's meeting yesterday. There's some good pastors in Virginia that are laboring in word and doctrine, that love the church members that God has entrusted them with. And I'm thankful for good pastors that understand the responsibility that God has given. There have been churches that have failed. Plenty of them. They don't fulfill their responsibility. But I'm thankful this evening that our church and many others have fulfilled their responsibility. But we must be aware of the fact that if we want to continue to walk worthy and please God, we must be aware of the instruction that God has given. And as God provides the instruction with regard to a church and its pastor, we understand that that instruction is given so that we might walk worthy and please God, not only as individuals, but corporately as a local church, that we could fulfill what God has called us to fulfill. The last part of verse 13 will be our study for next week, where the Bible says this, and be at peace among yourselves. We'll have an entire lesson next Wednesday evening on the importance of unity. The importance of unity. Oh, there's many churches. The church in Corinth will be a model that we'll look at next week with regard to the divisions and the disunity that was prevalent there. And so we find that God is seeking to instruct not only this church in Thessalonica, but every church throughout the church age, ours included. You want to walk worthy? You want to please God? Here's some instruction. And it starts with a church and its pastor. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. I thank you this evening for your word. God, I'm humbled at the opportunity and the privilege that you would give me to pastor Fellowship Baptist Church. 12.5 years. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for our church. I thank you for their heart and their spirit. I thank you for their desire to fulfill their biblical responsibility. God, I pray that you would help, even as we look at this portion of Scripture this evening and review and analyze the responsibility of the pastor and the responsibility of the church, that each of us would fulfill our God-given responsibilities so that we could walk worthy and please thee. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that we can enter into your presence, that we can bring our petitions before thy throne, knowing that you hear us and you answer. And we pray, God, that you'd bless throughout the remainder of the service. We pray that all that's said and done, that you alone would be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have your prayer bulletin with you this evening, on the back, we'll start with updates from our missionaries. Is anyone that did not get a prayer bulletin tonight, you need one? You didn't get one when you came in? Anyone need one?